praising him or giving him glory. Oh, what a Savior. You're never explaining. Choir sang a while ago how many songs can be sung about him, how many messages can be preached about him, but you never get it all said. And we just say we love him because he first loved us and gave himself for us. And I praise him and thank him for his goodness to us and rejoice in his love and mercy. I want you to turn in your Bibles today to Proverbs chapter number 14, verse number 34. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 34. If you'll stand, please, while I read the Word of God. Proverbs 14, verse number 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Tremendous verse of scripture. You've heard it over and over. You've read it, been quoted. Righteousness exalteth a nation. No question about it. But sin is a reproach to any people. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for what a Savior that we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Now, Father, as we again today open the Word of God, songs have been sung, and Lord, we have prayed and offering and worshiped, and now, Father, time for the message, and I pray in the message Jesus Christ will be exalted, lifted up, and our attention may be drawn to him. And Father, that our attention also may be drawn to our nation and to the fact of where we are, what's happening, and help us that we'll see ourselves like we are. And I pray, Father, we let you help us today. I pray in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit would work in every heart, every life, every individual here. Lord, there are those here that know not the Lord Jesus as our Lord and their Savior, and I pray Holy Ghost conviction be real, and they'll see that need, they'll realize their lostness, and Father, they'll never see it unless you show it to them, and I pray in Jesus' name that you'll draw them unto yourself. I pray in Jesus' name today that you speak to every saved person's heart. Help all of us to see ourselves like we really are, and then help us, God, respond like you want us to respond. And we'll thank you. I pray for those going through difficulties. There are those here that's going through sickness and situations that are troubling. And so I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'd help them, that you'd guide them and touch and heal according to your will and for your glory. Then, Heavenly Father, we pray today that you'd help those individuals and families that are going through struggles and heartaches and sorrows. I pray you minister unto them and help them and encourage them. And Heavenly Father, you know the need of every heart, every life, every individual here. I thank you again, God, for a privilege to be in the house of God. Open the Word of God and try to preach that Word. Now we need that divine touch of God. I pray you anoint us with the Holy Ghost. And Father, help us, God, forget about everything else. Just get centered in on what you have for us today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to try to bring you a message today on this subject, a reproach to America. Reproach to America. Now, I want to say quickly that I am thankful for America. I am glad to be an American. I'm thankful I was born in this nation, had the privilege to be raised in this nation, had the privilege to go to church in this nation, have a Bible, and I thank God for all the privileges that we've had. I'm glad for the freedoms that we enjoy today. I remind you again that we're sitting in the house of God undisturbed by the government. I'm glad today that we have a Bible and no one's going to take it away from us, I don't think, unless somebody steals it out of your car or something like that. But they do. I think Brother James had one stolen out of his car. We was talking about it one day. We just pray whoever stole it get to reading it, get under conviction, And whatever they do, they get saved and get right with God. Amen. It'll break them from stealing, won't it, Brother James, if they just get right with God. And so we pray for that and trust God for it. But anyway, we have a lot to be thankful for, a lot to praise God about. Some things God's laid on my heart to share with you today, and I'll never get through sharing what I really want to share, how I really feel in my heart, but let me try. Today began at least on some degree sharing this with you. And let's think about, first of all, as we think about our nation, what made our nation great to start with? And I want to say just a few things, and I'll not cover all of it, but a few things. What made America great to start with? I believe, first of all, she was started because some folk wanted to come for religious reasons to have freedom to worship God. And I believe that's one of the first things we need to think about. Now, not everybody came to America for that reason. Not everybody came because of that. Some came because of adventure. Some came because they thought they could get rich, and some called other reasons, but many came because they were fleeing the persecution of the church and came here in that reason to establish a church. And then we realize the fact that even some of the church that fleeing persecution one place came over here and started the church, and then they began to persecute others because they didn't believe like they believed. But thank God there was some that believed in religious freedom, and that they had the right and the privilege to choose who and what they would believe and who they'd serve and what they'd do and how they'd go about it. And I thank God for that. Amen. I'm glad, thankful that Baptist folk had a real part in that establishment of that kind of belief. Now, I disagree with some folk very vehemently. I disagree with them and their doctrine and what they believe, but I do believe they have a right to believe what they want to believe. And until God changes their mind, they'll probably believe that. And there's some things that's called religion today that I just don't believe is even religious. Well, I guess it is religious. Let's back up. Religion is man-made worship of something. But Christianity is Christ-centered, and I'm glad I'm a Christian. Amen. And you can lump that in for religion if you want to, but I think Christianity stands head and shoulders above religion because we are Christians and we are Christ-centered, and if it's not Christ-centered, it's not, we ought not call ourselves Christians. And that, well, anyway, in America, one reason she's great because of that. Another reason is that her greatness is that churches were established and missionaries were sent out. And churches preached the gospel. Great revivals came and people got saved. And in the beginning of our country, even men that were not Christians and had a whole lot to do with the beginning of our country, they were men of character, had some ethics about them, had some beliefs about them that of right and wrong, regardless of how they believed about Christianity. And some may not believe exactly like we believe today, but they still had that principle in them that the Bible was a guideline and we could establish on that and believe that. I say amen. I'm glad that those men in those days believed that. I may not agree with them on everything, but they had some character about them. And they had, and boy, today we're in great need of some character in our country. Amen. We're in great need of some people with ethics in their life and right kind of ethics. And we are in great need of that. But our country was established by men that had that. And I say amen. Churches that sent missionaries. And I thank God today we can still be sending missionaries to the other parts of the world. And God commanded us to do so, and we need to be doing so. Amen. I plug missions right there just for a minute because I believe in it, and thank God that we have that privilege to be a part of that. And I believe we'll meet people in heaven. They're there because we had a part in sending missionaries. And we'll be glad in that day that we did. Amen. I don't believe you ever give a dollar, a dime to missions, but what one day over yonder, if you do it because you love Jesus and you do it because you want other people to hear about him and be saved, I believe you'll be rewarded for that. And meet people over yonder, that'll be a great blessing to your heart and life in that day. But let me say something else. America has been a friend to Israel. I believe that's another reason why we have been blessed as we have. And America has stood by her and supported her and helped protect her. And God said in his word, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And so I believe America today has been made great, one reason, because she has stood by Israel. I am afraid today that our government is moving toward that realm of turning against that great nation. May God forbid that we ever do so. You say, but she doesn't believe in Christ and she's doing all this, but God has brought her back in the last days, has established a nation on the face of God's earth. No nation has ever been scattered like Israel has, brought back and become a great nation that she is. She is surrounded by enemies, but they fear her. And they know in the 6 days war, and some of you young folk don't remember that, but in the 6 days war, the Arab nations thought they'd do away with Israel. But in lightning speed, Israel showed what she could do, and she did, and protected herself. You know why? Not just because she had the power, but because God Almighty said, I'll be with thee. When thou passest through the fire, I'll help thee and protect thee. And I say, praise God. That's what happened to Israel. Now, I want to get to my message in a minute, but I'm getting the reason why we're great. America became a great nation, and she's losing some of that greatness today and going in the backward way. But I want you to know why we got where we did get to and how we got there. And the way to get back there, I believe, is to go back and examine how we got there to start with. If we got there to start with having men of character and having statesmen, people to stand, we need to get back to it. If we got there because people wanted to have religious freedom and worship God, then we need to get back to it. If we got there because churches were established that did believe God and did believe the word of God and did send out missionaries and did stand for truth and right and were not afraid to preach the word of God. We need to get back to that. Amen. Men that had backbones like saw logs and stood and preached, and it didn't make any difference about who was there or anything. I forgot what preacher it was. I forgot what president it was. But I remember the story hearing it about a man preaching, and he was in the pulpit, and the president of the United States came in and sat down, and somebody sitting on the pulpit with him tugged his coattail and said, the president of the United States is here. He looked at them and said, what difference does that make? Amen. What difference does that make? It doesn't make any difference whether the president of the United States is here or whether the mayor's here or whether the councilmen are here or whatever statesmen may be here. Or, well, I say statesmen. Ain't not many statesmen left. We got politicians today. But anyway, whatever it is, you say, preacher, you're going to be critical. No, I'm going to try to preach you what God said. I'm going to try to show you by the word of God what's happening in our country today and how in this weekend of the 4th of July that we celebrate our independence and the formation of our country. Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. He said that in Richmond, Virginia. And give me liberty or give me death. I thought about that. Over in John 8:36, it says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. Did you know if you don't get set free by the Son of God, you will have death? Amen. Give me liberty or give me death. It's no question about it. It's either liberty in Christ. It's either being saved and born in the family of God, being made a new creature in Christ Jesus, or you will die. That's for sure. And I'm not talking about dying physically. Everybody realizes if the rapture don't take place, we're going to die physically. But I'm talking about eternal death, that separation from God, forever and forever separated, and burn in the lake of fire and go to hell. You say, preacher, are you one of those kind of preachers? I am. I plead guilty to it. I believe you got to be born in the family of God or either be lost without God and burn forever and forever. You say, preacher, I don't like to hear about that. No, and the devil don't like me to preach that. But I want you to know today, thank God, I'm not just going to stop at that. I'm going to take it a step further. There is freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he sets you free, you'll be free indeed. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to burn forever. You can be saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of the of Jesus Christ, and thank God be born in the family of God, and be saved and safe. Amen. And secure in Christ Jesus, and know that you're going to heaven. I'm glad I'm going to a place called heaven. Amen. I'm glad for heaven that's real. And we was at the funeral yesterday, Brother Adams and Dad, and I'm glad, thank God, that in that funeral, he had a testimony, he knew God, had a testimony, was saved, and went to glory. I say hallelujah. I'm glad for that. Services like that are not there. The man said that was preaching it, it's a mixed emotions, because you're sad on this side of our hearts, but on the other hand, we're glad for him, because he's in the land of the living, and he'll never have another pain or sorrow nor shed a tear. I'm glad, praise God, I'm going to a place like that. Well, there won't be any pain and won't shed any tears. Now, I'm going to get to what I'm going to say, maybe, but I'm enjoying this way of getting there, amen. And telling you today, thank God for the reality of knowing Jesus Christ. Are you saved? Amen. You really born again, know Jesus? You really know you're going to heaven? Hallelujah. If you don't know that, pray you get to know that today. In the Revolutionary War, as they approached it, they were really unprepared for it. And the colonies were not ready for war. And here come Britain, Adam, and they certainly was a great power that day. And the military might was overwhelming to compare to what was in the colonies of what was called the United States of America. And they knew that without God, they had no hope whatsoever. And they had a saying in that day, right before and during the Revolutionary War. They would meet each other and say, "Friend, God save our country." And I say to you today, friend, God save our country. God save America. If he does not do that, we're going downhill rapidly. You say, preacher, I don't want to hear that on the negative side. There have been some good things with recovery happening, all that. I like to hear good things too. But if you don't preach like God puts it in your heart, then you won't do what God wants you to do. And friend, God save our country. And I'll take that a step further. God save our churches. God save our pulpits. God save our individuals. Friend, we need God, is what we need. Let me say first of all about this, and I thought about this thing of complacency, and as I first point of I want to say about today, complacency. And thinking about that complacency, in that Revolutionary War, those men that gave their lives, lost their fortunes, and gave everything they had to have a country established that would be free, they weren't complacent. They were busy about what they believed in and went about it with all they had and gave all they had for it. And so it could be reality. And I say today we have become complacent. Thursday night down at the camp meeting, Brother Doug Davis, Brother Eddie Davis was preaching. What a great message he brought. And surely established some things, stirred my heart, helped me, encouraged me, strengthened me, and challenged me. And then after service, I was back and talking to my granddaughters and some other folk that came by, and we were talking and shaking hands with people that knew me. And Brother Eddie Davis stepped back where I was and began to talk to me a few minutes, and we talked and walked over to the side just a little bit and talked privately. And he and I were talking and talking about this fact of complacency and the fact that we need, not in our country, and our young people, we're talking about young people, and wanting them to get God in their lives and know the power of God and the old time way, and that we pass it on to that generation. But in reality, us that are older, we're losing that same thing that we want our young people to have. We're losing it ourselves. Instead of having that zeal and that touch of God and that power and not being complacent, if we're not careful, and I'm confessing up, as you grow older, and I realize I have some physical problems, I know that. I realize there are some limitations on me physically, I know that. But I don't want to lose that zeal for God. I don't want to get complacent on God. and say, well, nobody getting saved, and we'll just accept it and go on, blame it on the times and blame it on somebody else and do something else. I want God to stir my heart and help me stay stirred. I want these young people to see an old preacher that still has some fire in him. Amen. Amen. We get complacent about things, and we wait on somebody else to say amen, hallelujah. We wait on somebody else to pray, somebody else to pay the price, somebody else to knock on the doors, somebody else to get the visitors to come, somebody else to get a burden about souls going to hell without God. And we become complacent about it and wrapped up in other things. And y'all with me today? I realize we're in the house of God here on this weekend and supposed to be having fun and all that, but let's be real about ourselves. We're a complacent bunch of people. We backed up, sat down, and just relaxed in that position, and we're not careful, we'll stay there. I pray the dynamite of God will blow us out today and get us out of our complacency, and we really get down to business about serving God, having the worship of God in spirit and in truth, come to the house of God ready to worship and adore him and have a burden for souls and a zeal in our hearts. Do something for God. There's a German that said this one time, and he said, talking about the Nazis, and said they came for the Catholic, for the Jews, and I did not speak up. They came for the Catholics, and I did not speak up. Then they came for me. What a thought. What a thought. We've seen our country going down. We've seen politicians doing like they do. We've heard all about that complacency and all that. But if we're not careful, we ourselves will be next. We may already be there in a great degree. And complacency is real. We need to confess up to it. Amen. It's easy to be complacent and get to the place where it's just, well, we're going to drift it on through and get the glory. But one day we're going to face a living God. Complacency. Let me say number two. I try and keep it alliterated, so I just call it crookedness. Crookedness. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about crookedness? Well, there's a new code of ethics out today. It's like a little boy, and you've heard me say this many times, but it's like a little boy that said about lying. Teacher asked in the class, said, what is a lie? One little boy raised his hand. She said, okay, what is it? He says, a present help in a time of trouble. That's exactly what a lot of people believe it is. It's a present help in a time of trouble. And are crooked as crooked can be. Dishonest. And Brother Hazelwood was preaching or teaching on the commandments this morning in Sunday school out here in the auditorium. And I want to say amen to what you had to say. And I appreciated his teaching and surely teaching about that, and it's right. And we know that the commandments was a schoolmaster brings unto Christ, but God, the holy God that made those commandments, is still the same holy God that he was back in Exodus chapter 20. God hadn't changed any. God hadn't changed his mind about sin, and God hadn't changed anything. And dishonesty is still dishonesty, amen? And we've seen politicians get rich dishonestly, and we've seen folk around us be dishonest, but we see ourselves, oh, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't embezzle for anything out if we had a place where we was handling money. We wouldn't take money out and do that, but at the same time, we rob God. Amen, oh me. And at the same time, we don't do what God wants us to do. And then at the same time, we'll go out to a restaurant to eat, and the under 3 years of age, they eat free. And we got somebody that's a 3 and a half, and we say, well, we don't have to pay for this. They'll be free. And you say, that's not that is dishonest. Amen. Whatever they say is, it is. You say, well, they charge so much for the rest of it. We're paying for it anyway. It don't mean there's a charge $50 a plate. Amen. Dishonesty is dishonesty. Amen. Y'all are still with me, aren't you? Y'all didn't go anywhere on that one, I hope, and still hanging in here because I got a whole lot more I want to say. And we don't need to be dishonest with each other. We don't need to be dishonest about the church or dishonest about ourselves. And when God's speaking to our hearts and we get under Holy Ghost conviction, we don't need to be dishonest about that. We ought to be honest enough to confess it, that we're the one that's wrong, God's right. Amen. And just go on and get right with God and let God help us, and it certainly will be better. But I want to get to this one because it's so, I believe, important to us today that we get it. Carousing. And people are in complacency and crooked, but carousing. You said carouse. I hope you know what that word means. I didn't look it up. I'm not really sure what carousing means. Well, preacher, why'd you use it for? Because I've always heard carousing was out there messing around where you didn't have any business messing around. So I'll give you my definition of it, and we'll let it go at that. And that's our word for it today, carousing. And people are carousing today, amen. And the bad thing about, hey, did you know, and I'm going to give you some statistics, and I don't know how correct they are, because some of them come from some years ago, some more recent, but they're all mixed up in my mind right now, but they're somewhere close. If they're not close, they'll be within a million or two, amen. But anyway, over at least half or over of all traffic deaths are connected with alcohol. And alcohol, amen. And alcohol dependency will cost America 137 or so, maybe 140 billion. I said billion, not million, billion of dollars this year. Isn't that sad? And our young people, it is said that 75% of 8th graders and 90% of 10th graders have drank alcohol. That's a sad statistic. That's a sad thing to even think about. But I'll tell you what's sadder than that. These church people that have beer in their refrigerators and get on their children for drinking it. Amen. Good preaching, preacher. Go on and preach it. Amen. And just carousing around. And they'll have their wine and drink their wine. But yeah, the young people get out and somebody give them some wine to get upset about it. And all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you today, we need to find out where we are, amen, about this thing. You say, preacher, you don't think anybody in this house would have beer in the refrigerator, do you? I believe there'd be people in this house has beer in the refrigerator, has wine in the refrigerator. Maybe some here's got moonshine liquor. I just heard about them getting a moonshine still up here and Landrum. I don't know who it was or anything about them, but some of y'all may have been visiting around up here. I don't know. I'm just preaching, amen, and telling you, amen. That's carousing around, amen. And did you know college students spend at least $6 billion, and again, that's billion, not million, dollars on beer this year? And I say, what a sad thing. People were supposed to be going to school to educate, have jobs, be leaders of our nation, and be leaders in the community and leaders and all that kind of thing. And they have their beer parties, and they get together in their sororities and all that, and they drink and carry on, and nobody thinks anything about that much. And some preacher get up and preach again, and they think he's a nut. He's off base. He's not up to date. And young people got to be young people. You got to let them sow their seed. You got to just let them go. No, you don't have to just let them go. And no, you don't have to let them enjoy those kind of things, because sin will lead them down a path they don't want to go. And some of them get hung up in that and become drunks, and they'll become dependent on it, and they won't be worth a flip in life. Amen. And where they could have went to school, got an education, and made something out of themselves by the help of God, and been something for the glory of God, and been active in the church, and amen, good, 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 good. Hey, we need that kind, amen. And I'm telling you today, we need to know, watch about the carousing around, amen. And then let's talk about the teens for a minute. And teenagers, I'm just talking about the drinking among teens, but teenage pregnancy is on, that's almost a common thing today, but it ought not to be. It ought not to be, amen. And it was a day and a time, and I'm not against forgiving. I think we ought to forgive folk. Anybody gets messed up, we ought to forgive them and have compassion on them. And if they'll repent and be right with God and do right, then I don't have a problem trying to not trying but to forgiving and helping them. But I tell you what I do have a problem with when it just comes about and nobody acts like there's any shame to it, acts like there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a common thing. Hey, it's not a common thing. It's not a right thing. Amen. Amen. And I say to you today, young ladies, keep yourself pure. And young men, keep yourselves clean. Amen. Just as important you do it as it is for a man, as a woman is. Amen. Keep yourself pure. God have somebody for you down the road somewhere. And you need to do that. And I know today there's a whole lot. And sometimes young folk, and they pick it up. Hey, listen, they see it on TV. They hear it everywhere they go. It's that broadcast everywhere. And downtown the other day, and I thought, my soul, I'm going to go home and get my dark sunglasses and let my wife leave me around. Amen. Tell it like it is. Amen. You see, but preachers, there ain't nothing wrong with women wearing shorts. They not. I believe it is. Why is that, preacher? Because the Bible says anything between the knee and the hip is a thigh and cause that neckiness. Amen. Y'all got quiet real quick. Amen. And I tell you, you see folk running around about naked, and they don't want anybody to say anything about it, because, boy, that's wrong. That preacher say something about that. Now, he's been judgmental. He's getting out of shape, and he's getting places he ought to. No, he's preaching like he ought to preach. Amen. You know why we're getting the shape we're in? Because preachers won't preach it. I may say something about that later today. But anyway, I'm telling you right now, we need to hear it. And I was talking about girls' pregnancy, and then about half of those that do have abortions, and that's murder. And so we get another involvement in. And between, I don't know, somewhere over six a day commit suicide. And then something over between 600 and 700 a day contract some kind of a sexual disease. And sad it is. I say sad it is. And we're in such a mess we are. Let me say, number four, child killers. And our country, and we hear this on the news. I mean, what Brother Ronnie Gilbert said one time, and every time I turn the news on, I think of it. He said, watching the news today is like an old West show. Somebody killing somebody, shooting somebody. And nothing, not unusual to hear about somebody shot somebody, somebody stabbed somebody. But what really breaks my heart is people killing children. And not just sex perverts doing it, and that's a bad situation when they're doing it, amen. But only sex perverts doing it, but the moms and dads killing their own children. What is that? That's a lack of natural affection, God's saying. And it'd be like that in the last days. And you and I that are saved, we need to make a cry. Hey, it's not natural, amen. And we need to cry against that, amen. It wouldn't do for me to get on a jury, I don't guess. By the time I had enough evidence to say they're guilty, I just think, guilty, judge, get this over with. Guilty. Give them 24 hours, repent, and then take care of it. Had a few public hangings, it'd stop some of this mess. But, oh, that's so inhuman. That's so inhuman. Do you know these people that jump up and down, march down the street, cause somebody's hung? And talk about how inhuman it is. That somebody might have taken a little child out and raped them, then killed them, and they think it's inhuman. Lord have mercy on us. We're in a mess in America. Amen. Child killing. I got to hurry because I got to finish this thing up. Let me say this. Crime. Now, I just shut the Bible so I don't even see my notes. I got it wrote in my Bible. But crime. Every 12 minutes, there's some kind of vandalism goes on. Every 21 or so minutes, there's a burglary. Violent crime every so many hours. There's rape every at least one or two a day. There's abortions all the time. Crime's on the rise. I heard the other day a statistic said the crime rate had gone down somewhere. It's a funny thing to me if it's going down. There's more people wanting to carry guns today. There's more people wanting to protect themselves today than I've ever known in my life. Why is that? Because there's more violence out there. More violence. But what's the answer, preacher? Same thing that made America great. Get back to it. get back to it. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege we've had to stand and try to proclaim the Word of God. Father, we've looked at these things today and thought about them and where we are in America. And help us in this nation. I thank you for America. But Lord, help us as a nation. That God save our country. God save our country. Help us, I pray, in this church today to realize where we are and what we need. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. Brother Tim, lead us in a song. You'd like to come and say, Lord, help me being so complacent. Lord, help me get more involved in helping others get to Christ. Help me not be complacent about this thing of living for God. Help me not to be dishonest. Help me not to be whatever it is God's saying to your heart and your life. While we sing, you come. While we sing, looking this way.
Bless me not, oh.
Savior. Just a minute, there's some folk praying, and we'll do something else in just a few minutes. But right now, God's speaking to your heart. I can't make anybody come. It's not my purpose. I'm not trying to do that, but I am trying to help you. The things I mentioned today, we say, yeah, we've heard that. But you know, sometimes we don't really let it bother us. When people start crying out an old-fashioned altar, see things turn around. Complacency. The devil has sat back and laughed at us. While little by little, the power, the move of God, the things that bring this country back in line goes further away. Singing one more verse.
Now the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, hear my humble cry.
You to bow your heads, close your eyes just for a moment. If you're here today and you realize the fact that you're unsaved, you're lost. You're without God. Or you may be saved and your life has got so far away, the joy's gone. Need God to help you. I wonder if there's anybody here today, slip your hand up and just for that, say, pray for me, preacher. God bless your heart. I see that precious hand. I see that precious hand. God bless you. God bless you. I see that precious hand. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless your heart. Anybody else quickly? I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put it down. Thank you. I saw several hands go up all over the house. God knows your heart. God knows your life. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to do one more thing and we'll be finished unless God says otherwise. Father, thank you for those who lifted their hands, those who have come to the altar, those who have in some way responded in this service today. Lord, precious folk raised their hands and said, I need prayer. Lord, there's something spiritually wrong in their lives. They need some help. And I pray, Father, grant that help unto them. Touch their lives. We'll give you the praise and the glory and the thanks for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to sing another verse. If you need to come and repent, or you need to come and get right, as whatever way, if you need to come and unite with this church, whatever the purpose to come is, we'll give you that opportunity right now while we sing.
Trust.